How does a U.S. Air Force veteran become a nurse and then a nurse entrepreneur, an inventor, and CEO of a successful and growing company? Let's talk all about it with my friend Brian Mojica of Cathware, right here in episode 315 of The Nurse Keith Show. Hey there, this is Nurse Keith. In these days of the COVID-19 pandemic, I'm still bringing you my monthly pandemic updates at the end of every month. Meanwhile, this podcast continues to be all about you, your personal and professional development, your nursing and healthcare career, and the healthcare system as a whole. And I'm here to share education, ideas, diatribes, and informative interviews like this one with some of the most inspiring people from the worlds of healthcare, nursing, innovation, entrepreneurship, and beyond. I love having you along for the ride, whether you're new to the show or you've been on this journey with me for months, or maybe some of you have been hanging out with me for years. Thanks for being part of the growing Nurse Keith Nation. And remember that Nurse Keith Coaching is your destination for all things related to your career. I offer individualized, holistic career coaching for nurses and healthcare professionals like you. And if you mention the show when you email me at keith@nursekeith.com, you get 10% off your first coaching package. The show notes for this episode, which you're going to want to check out, will be at nursekeith.com/episode and the number 315. Anyway, we are here today joined on the pod with friend of the pod, Brian Mojica. Brian, I'm so glad you're here with me from the Boston area, and you are a man to watch in healthcare. And let's just start with one first question. What brought you into nurse entrepreneurship from a nursing career? How did you decide that you wanted to be a business person?
Well, thank you, Keith. Thank you for having me on. I feel like I made it now that I'm on this show, out of everything else.
Your flattery will get you everywhere. Okay.
But no, thank you for this opportunity.
Sure, man.
To answer your question directly, from nurse to nurse entrepreneur, I have no idea. It just all started unfolding as I started to see a problem and then a passion to fix this problem in order to help patients. And I believe that the journey really paved itself by my desire to do just that. You know, I don't think I set out and said, oh, well, let me, you know, do this or let me do that. I just believed in creating a value by solving this problem with the solution.
I see. So, and as a nurse, you have a lot in common with my journey. I used to live in Massachusetts too.
Yes.
Here in Lawrence, just outside of Boston. And you and I have both traveled a similar, slightly out of the box path, right?
That's right.
So where have you spent most of your nursing career? What have you been doing?
All of it. I've spent it working for the Visiting Nurses Association here in the community that I live in Lawrence, Massachusetts, which is about 30 minutes, depending on how your driving techniques are, 30 minutes north of Boston. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming out of school, which you and I spoke about this at length, and I was excited to know that you had the same journey. You know, that's all we were told is like, you know, it's med surge and more education or bust. And mm-hmm. and that wasn't the case for me. You know, I love teaching people. I love taking the time to find out how I can make their lives better and help them to retain it. And for me, the VNA achieved all of that. I also wanted a job based on an easier lifestyle. It was a little easier for me to decide to work at the VNA coming out of a 4-year nursing degree program because I have my degree in radiology as well. So I was already working in the operating room, in the interventional radiology room, suites and things like that. I had not worked on a nursing floor, but I had experienced what their life was like, you know, at the nurse's station and blah, blah, blah. And right. Also through clinical. So I already knew that was something that I didn't want to do, being on the floor or working in the operating room. you know, and visiting nurse, the pay is great. Everybody's driven by different types of motivation or whatever. I have a friend of mine that I graduated nursing school with. He went into the VNA with me as he was working on a med-surg floor. He did it for like 4 months, made a couple extra bucks, and then he went in to work in the ICU. So he works in the ICU, third shift, 4 or 5 times a week, 12-hour shifts.
Wow, that's a lot.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Right. But, you know, and everybody's driven by different things. Like for my friend, he wants to be, and I'm paraphrasing, the smartest nurse in the room.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm okay with not being the smartest nurse in the room. I'm a nurse like the others, you know, and I'm in my own realm here. So.
Yeah. Well, Brian, thanks for saying all of that. And you and I both did what everyone said was professional suicide. We didn't go into med surg. And I don't tell my coaching clients to not go into med surg. I say, if you want a career being a highly, you know, highly trained ICU nurse, or you really want to work in acute care, and that's the direction you want to go, go for it. And you and I both know there's some liabilities in not getting that couple years in med-surg. And I was willing to take that risk, and you took it too. And you and I both have our own forms of success. It's a different type of success. And I just want to say really quickly that I love how you say visiting nurse association, because I went to school in Massachusetts and graduated from Greenfield Community College and UMass. And in Massachusetts, we call them VNAs, right? Mm-hmm. They don't call them that in a lot of other states. So it's kind of funny. They call it home health agencies. They call it home health. And
It's interchangeable.
But I love how you and I have that New England connection. Yeah. And, you know, visiting nurses.
And that's interesting too, because I would tell people VNA in my journey, you know, as I'm meeting nurses, you know, on an international level now. And they'd always say VNA. I'm like, why don't they know what VNA is? But you're right.
It's because it's home health.
Yeah. It's because it's home health. And one of the things that we spoke about offline, if you will, that I really want to talk about here, please, at least in this segment, as far as home health or VNA, depending on what you want to call it, is that's why we're not taught to become inventors, innovators, entrepreneurs, because there's this robotic system in place that in order for you to be a nurse, you have to do what the millions of nurses did before you. But that clearly is not the case, especially with you and I, where we went the same exact route.
Yes.
And we're both business owners.
Right.
You know, and that's what it takes, is to break those paradigms. We have to break those paradigms that are set, that you have to do this. And then after so many years, you have to do this. You know, and when you told me that somebody said that would be professional suicide, not only is it enforced that you have to fall into the paradigm, but it's also a threat as well, right? Like, you know, you have to do it this way. And if you don't, I mean, you could just go ahead and hand in your nursing license. Like, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. You might as well just start packing groceries or something.
Yeah. Right?
So Brian, So what I want to ask you is that, so if people get quote unquote, like corralled into doing what they think is what real nursing is, and they don't want to do the things that aren't real. Like, there are still nurses out there who think, you know, school nursing, that's not real nursing, right? Mm-hmm. And school nursing is pretty complex these days. Let me tell you, I've talked to a lot of school nurses on this show, or several. And, you know, from your perspective, if we want to break paradigms, if we want to innovate, what's the kind of mindset we have to be able to do that? Like, how do we just make the decision? Like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to try something really out of the box.
Yeah. And that's a great question.
Yeah.
There are different levels in every different career.
Sure.
To say, because you're a visiting nurse, you are of quote unquote less quality than my friend that's a critical care nurse.
Mm-hmm.
It does a disservice to the nursing profession in general, because we're supposed to cover all aspects, right? So when that ICU patient goes home, then what? Do they have no nurse? You know, so, but I do get it. There is a higher level of acuity. Now, for me, that doesn't work. So that I didn't understand why along my journey of inventing cathware, medical underwear designed for patients that require the use of leg bags, why people would say, how can you be a nurse and also open your own business? Because people think nurse, well, 8 hours on a med-surg floor.
Sure. It's almost, yeah, of course.
You know, it's almost like being a nurse is synonymous with you have no life because you're like my friend, you know, you're stuck in the four walls.
Right. And nurses don't invent stuff. They don't mm-hmm. do anything like that, right?
Yeah. You know, and for me, it's the VNA work because I was able to have the flexibility to take a phone call, to do an in-service, to,
right.
you know, to field things that were needed to grow my business and also work as a nurse and also play my role in advancing healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
The other things didn't work for me.
Right, right. So
the other, not other things, the other career fields within nursing didn't work for me.
Right. So let's talk a little bit more though about mindset. Like, how do you find, create, or connect with the mindset that, yeah, I can be different? Like, how do we do that? I know you and I have done it, but I don't know, where does it come from?
Well, you have to be secure in who you are and what you're doing in any aspect in life. So, you know, like my two of my friends, you know, we've known each other for a long time. One of them, I've known him since I was 13.
Yeah.
And we all graduated fairly well, within like 6 months of each other from the same school and everything. And they always tease me and they're like, oh, you drive around all day handing out PO meds, you know, and both of them, you know, one works in a critical care, one works on a med surge floor. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with what I'm doing. And that's the mindset. Like, it works for me. I am secure that I'm doing what I need in my life and my career. And what happens is the reason why people don't have that mindset is because they can't handle the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Because of insecurity, they can't handle the heat of their decisions being critiqued. Like, you know, you tell somebody else, oh, you just drive around giving PO meds and, you know, they'll drop out of nursing school on the spot because they don't want to be, you know, that kind of nurse. I went into nursing school specifically to work in the home health setting.
And we like don't just hand out PO meds. I mean, home health is like you hang TPN, you do.
Oh, yeah,
you
know,
I know.
Exactly. So that's yeah. why I'm totally okay with, you know, with what people say or think, because mm-hmm. I know what goes on, at least with me and my patients.
So you have to be confident and you have to feel secure in
Absolutely.
Your decision. Like, I first started out of school. I went to the Holyoke Health Center in Holyoke, Mass. That's what mm-hmm. I wanted to do, community health. Then I went to the visiting nurses after that. And I was really clear. I was like, I want to work with the Spanish speaking community in the poorest city in Western Massachusetts.
Yep. Like,
that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did. And I did it for many,
and
many, many years.
That area that you're in, Holyoke, Springfield, it's similar to Lawrence.
Very like, much so.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I'm, excuse me, because I know I cut you off there, but we spoke about this before the interview and it was a great spot. As you know, the Hispanic and the Black communities, they are the highest patient population of non-compliance.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where we need to be.
Right. Right. And you work in the Spanish speaking community too in Lawrence, and you're Dominican. So you're native speaker, unlike
yeah.
me. So you can really go in there and really, really speak the language. So I really admire that.
Yeah. And it's great because you're catching the patients in their preferred environment to learn, where I believe it's the highest probability of retaining information at their kitchen table.
Yeah.
You know, when I come into somebody's house and they're type 2 diabetic, hypertensive,
they
have rice and beans and fried food on the table. I'm like, this is what you shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And things like that. And I'm also a certified medical interpreter. So to be able to utilize my ability to speak a second language fluently, you know, in an underserved, undereducated patient population in their own home, like in a sense, you're almost working as a nurse practitioner, because you're making a lot of decisions right on the fly. I used to be a phlebotomist. That was my first job in the medical field. So I'm drawing labs for them, you know, because of my degree in radiology. I can talk them through any procedures that they're getting through, making sure that everything is set up for them. I'm managing drains when they come back home, and yada, yada, yada. And I really like it. It's very, very satisfying.
It's very intimate too, when you're sitting at someone's kitchen table, you meet their dog and you meet their cousin and their wife and their sons and, you know, the next door neighbor. And, you know, and it's pretty elucidating too, when you have a type 1 diabetic and you say, can I look in your kitchen cabinets and fridge? And they're like, okay. And you go through their stuff and you're like, okay, let's talk about this. And that doesn't happen in the hospital. At the hospital, you give them a little pamphlet, you talk to them a little bit. So we could talk about home health all day.
And I know we could.
Before we take a break, I just want to ask you, like, you came first from the Air Force into healthcare. So when you went into the Air Force, was there healthcare involved in what you were doing there? Or was that like completely separate,
different? No, I actually went into the Air Force right after high school. I didn't want to go into college right after high school. I just knew that I was going to waste time, you know? So I ended up working on the flight line on the fighter jets with the weapon systems, the rockets and the guns on the jets and all those types of things, sort of in a mechanic-like setting. I chose that job in the Air Force. Like, I really thought when I was 17, I was like, this sounds pretty cool, working with missiles. You know what I mean? And little did I know, I mean, if I would have known what I've known now, I guess anybody can say that. And hindsight is 20/20. I certainly would have done something in the medical field, whatever, nurse, MD or whatever. But when I got out, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to be in school. And that's kind of one of the things that I talk about in my new book, Let It Flow, which is the thought process of setting short-term goals, which I think, you know, like if you want to be an astronaut, well, you got to make it to math class on time. I think sometimes we look at these big goals, but then we don't set up a structure on how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
So for me,
exactly.
It's like, I didn't know when I got out of the Air Force, I got out because I thought I wanted to be home, you know, because every time I came home on leave, everybody was having such a good time, but it was really because I was around. So then when I came home out of the Air Force, it was like normal life. And I'm like, hey, everybody, like, you know, and everyone's like, no, man, like, I got to go to work, or, oh, you know, I got my kids this weekend or this or that. So then reality started to hit, and then reality started to set in. And then I wanted to go to school. So I said, I think I was 21 when I came home. And I just said by 23, I wanted to be enrolled in school. By 25, I wanted to be in a degree program. By 27, I wanted to graduate. And it played out just like that.
That's great.
6 months or a year after I graduated with my degree in radiology, I went into nursing school.
Cool. Okay. I wanted to get that little bit of the story. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about Cathware, and I really want to talk about your really, really awesome book and give a little more inspiration to nurses out there who might want to do something a little differently. So we'll be right back for the second half of episode 315. So now we're going to take a pause for the cause for just a moment. Please consider becoming a patron of The Nurse Keith Show, just like other awesome listeners who value the show so much that they want to give just a little bit each month to support the work we're doing here. When you pledge, you not only get the satisfaction of helping produce and support The Nurse Keith Show, you also get some pretty cool premiums and gifts from yours truly. Just head over to patreon.com/nursekeith to read all about it. That's patreon.com/nursekeith. And if you know someone who could benefit from career coaching with me, please consider referring them. And if they become a paying client, you'll receive credit for an hour of coaching with me, and there's no expiration date on that credit, so you can keep it in your back pocket until you need it most. And remember that you can refer as many people as you like and continue to earn those coaching credits. What an incredible deal! And please head over to nursekeith.com and sign up for my newsletter, which comes out regularly and brings you supportive messages, updates from my blog and my podcast, resources, and all sorts of other stuff. Remember, nursekeith.com, sign up for that newsletter, and you'll also get a free download from me as my gift to you. Anyway, those are my sincere asks today. So now, let's dig back into today's topic without further ado. All right. Thanks for hanging out here on episode 315. We're here with my friend, Brian Mojica of Cathware out there in the Boston, Massachusetts area. And Brian, before the break, you and I were talking about being home health nurses or visiting nurses, as we call them in Massachusetts. And we were talking about your stint in the Air Force doing mechanical work, which I think actually in many ways, I bet was helpful in becoming a nurse, being able to work with your hands and do those tasks related to clinical work. And we were also talking about innovation and mindset and the ways in which nurses get corralled into thinking that there's only one or two paths for them. And there's very little other things for them to do in the healthcare world and the innovation space. So, you know, your new book is really awesome. I haven't finished it. I admitted that to you. It's called Let It Flow.
That's fine.
So it's called Let It Flow. And it's really a fantastic book all about your journey. And it offers a lot of practical advice and also mindset advice for nurses who want to innovate. And you even go into things like how to create a prototype and all that kind of stuff that we have no idea how to do. And on page 7, you say something really interesting, or page 8. It says, do you know what the problem is? Patients in healthcare suffer when your ideas are not developed. If nurses aren't on the front lines of innovation, healthcare suffers. What if you don't fail? Think of all the people you're going to impact. We seem to have built obstacles in our minds, which only hinders the growth of patient care. Life has accustomed many to think of what can go wrong when we're beginning a new journey. It's critical to understand the beginning of anything is a delicate time in itself. Embrace the moment, live in the suspense of the unknown, and greatness will navigate you through life. In turn, inventions and innovations, life is better lived, walking with a blind faith with clinical experience as the flashlight illuminating your path on each step. So I love how you're talking about living in the suspense of the unknown. And isn't being a nurse entrepreneur, an inventor, and someone who's living and working outside the box, don't you really have to live in the suspense of the unknown?
Yes. Yes. I just want to answer your question directly before I get into it. And
yeah,
that is the only way to live. Like when I can see it's boring, right? Like when I can see, okay, this is what's going to happen. It's boring, right? Like everybody knows when you don't have an itinerary, you usually have a better time, mm-hmm. You know, and becoming an entrepreneur and stepping out essentially in a blind faith, because you know that you're solving this unsolved problem. You as the nurse, you mm-hmm. know, like this is nowhere. My coworkers haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I've been in the field for so long. I've worked at this unit. I didn't see it. I worked at this unit. I haven't seen it. Or I've been in home health this long and I haven't seen it, you know? So you know that it doesn't exist. And it is going to take some effort to step out and in a blind faith in order for you to reach new heights. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I had mentioned, as I was listening to you read it, it's crazy because I wrote, you know, this book, Let It Flow. And now I'm starting to listen to people tell me on how it sounds to them. Like even the book, I was stepping out in faith. Like yes. Even writing the book, I'm like, well, because we have to push our ideas forward. Just like we have to push an invention forward, I'm pushing this book forward that has, you know, my journey in the highs and lows, you know, and something that when I heard you verbally say it now, as I was waiting, you know, for to be asked the question, yeah. We are accustomed to think that things will fail. And it's just the way that life has evolved, you know, in the human mind. And then you have these people, you know, like us that step out and create either a platform or an innovation, you know, or an invention or whatever. And we need more of those because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the risk of failing and also realizing that even in failures, there's success. If that
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chapter 2 is called Failures and Obstacles. And the first line says, unfortunately, most people identify with failures more than they identify with success stories. So
I find that to be it's so true.
And why is that? Why is that? Is it our wiring as human beings? We're wired to think about the worst case scenario.
Well, not only that, right? But let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, if you walk into a room and you say, mm-hmm. you know, how many people in here have invented something? I doubt that there would be a large sample size, right? But if you walk into a room and you're like, man, you know, I got a divorce. Like anybody in here divorced? Probably more than half the room with the, you know, the divorce rate sky high.
Yeah.
They would raise their hands, right? So when you walk into a situation, which that's why my new book, Let It Flow, I'm very transparent because I want to connect with people. You know, social media has allowed us to paint this essentially facade of who we want people to see us for who we are, but that's not really who we are.
That's true.
You know, right. And everybody's, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, like you kind of created this wall of when you look at me via an electronic device, I want you to see this. I have learned that the more transparent you are, the greater of an impact you're going to make in becoming a leader.
Thank you. That is such a great thing to say.
It's true. Yeah. It's so true. And going back to the original question, why is it that we connect on failure? It's just the way it is because everybody has experienced failure, but not everybody has experienced success. So right. That's why I talk about a lot of the failures. Essentially, Let It Flow is an entire book on all the places that I failed and then how they ended up into a success.
Right. All the mistakes you made along the way, because you said you made a lot. And isn't it true if you put a bunch of nurses together and ask them to talk about their work, a lot of the conversation will generally turn to what's wrong at work. Like this protocol is wrong. This procedure is wrong.
Wow, man.
The way we do things are wrong. And you know what? If nurses were allowed to and taught to innovate and they were allowed to lead and say, look, this device isn't designed the way a bedside nurse would use it. If that company had a nurse consulting on the design of the device, before the device was approved and marketed, the nurse could say, you know what? These buttons should be reversed. And you know what? It actually, the design, I can't hold it in my hand very comfortably while I'm doing patient care. It should really hook to the side of the bed. Like if you had a nurse at all these companies that invent and produce products, a nurse who was able to say, you know, this is not the way a nurse would use it. It's kind of like a designer in a firm designing a blender, but that person's never used a blender before.
Construction worker designing a blender, you know, for a kitchen. No, that makes great sense. I mean, I know we don't have a lot of time, but you're really touching up on a lot of key points. To start with your original statement, it's true. If you get a bunch of nurses into a room, they would generally talk about the things that are wrong. And going back to what I said, it's just with the pressures of the job, of, you know, the climate in today's world, if you will, on a bunch of different fronts. I just feel like we're naturally more apt to talk about something that is negative versus something that is positive. And there's people coming up out of the ranks that have been planted, that are growing, that are breaking the mold that's been set and really saying, hey, things aren't actually going bad. They're actually going great. What you said about a nurse being on people's boards, it is so, so critical because of exactly what you said. How would a nurse think? You know, how would a nurse use this? For me, I have seen exactly that. That's kind of why I smiled when you brought it up. None of the products that are in our category for cathware were invented by a nurse. And again, I would never discredit somebody's invention by saying, you know, this one is better or whatever, because sure, that's unprofessional. Yeah. Yet at the same time, you can tell that cathware was invented by a nurse because it encompassed all the drains and it was set up systematically the way that a nurse would see a patient using it. Where the other products, it's similar. The other products are like if a caregiver invented it or a patient invented it to solve their one problem. So a lot of them solve the one problem, but it's not the entire problem.
Yeah. Now we'll have pictures of cathware in the show notes and everything, but briefly, what is cathware? What is the device that you invented look like? Like if I was a nurse encountering it in a clinical space, what does it look like and how would I apply it and teach a patient to use it?
Sure. So cathware, to give a visual, is a medical underwear designed for patients that require the use of leg bags that looks like a pair of biker shorts that are slightly longer, just above the knee. So working from the knee up, it has a leg bag pouch for a 600 cc bag, one on each thigh. It has an opening for the valve for the leg bag that comes out of the pouch, so the patient never has to take it out of the pouch. If they're wearing a skirt, if they're wearing a dress, if they're wearing shorts, they can just drain the bag. In the pelvic region, there's an X-looking feature there, and that is called a catheter channel track. And I designed that because I used to get called into the operating room so many times in the middle of the night because patients would inadvertently dislodge the tubing, and it needed to be repositioned. So I designed that similar to a pair of drawstrings in the pair of sweatpants, how it's covered and concealed. That's what gave me the thought process of keeping the tubing concealed and close to the patient's body. Has a Velcro tab so the patient can maneuver it, just like when you're putting a drawstring in a pair of sweatpants that came out. We've all gotten to that. We say, I wish there was a window right here so I can pull it through. So that's why I created a window in that X looking feature so that a patient that has any dexterity issues, osteo or rheumatoid arthritis issues, they'd be able to navigate it. So it's for Foley drains. Thank you. For Foley drains, biliary, suprapubic, Mitrofenov, and also nephrostomy tubes. So tubes coming out of the kidneys, out of the bladder, out of a surgical bladder, and right out of the urinary tract and the liver. And I wanted to incorporate all drains so that somebody wouldn't come after me and then, you know, make it better and essentially rendering my invention useless. So it removes the use of those straps. It doesn't have to, the leg bag doesn't have to slide up and down the leg. It doesn't have to over tighten on the skin. Patients irritate their own skin. Sometimes there's a break in the skin. Then they need wound care or an antibiotic. Now all of that is removed and they can put it right into the pouches. And my favorite one is that we got it covered through Medicare for patients as well.
Brilliant. Congratulations. Because getting it covered by CMS, that's huge. So, you know, and I know you're getting into all sorts of markets. I think it's being sold in, is it being sold in Walmart and other large
stores? It is.
Stores. That must be kind of mind-blowing. Yeah. So congratulations on that. And, you know, for a nurse out there listening right now, Brian, he or she is thinking, wow, like I've had ideas for how something could be better, or I've seen how this device we use just doesn't work really well. So my contention here, as we finish up this interview, is that your book actually provides not a complete blueprint, but a pretty solid guide for how to be at the forefront of innovation, the failures and obstacles you're going to encounter, how to create the right product, how to invent and then prototype and adapt, creating a vision. And then you even talk about networking, building your business, pitching ideas, building a team, dealing with rejection, dealing with insecurity, an exit strategy. So you cover everything from like the initial spark of an idea, like, oh, that would be really cool, wouldn't it? To how to build something and actually get it out to the market. So I think it's a really fantastic guide. Just a nurse out there who's like, I have an interesting idea. Yeah. So thank you for creating that.
I wanted to provide that.
Well, I think you've done it really successfully. And where do you go from here, Brian? Like, Cathware is in the newest iteration. It's now in Walmart. It's been accepted by Medicare, so it can now be prescribed by a provider. What's next on your list? Like, what other part of the world do you want to conquer?
Well, I don't know. And I believe that can be a very powerful statement, because it can also show the ability to do a lot of things. Variety is the spice of life. And right now what I see is myself, Let It Flow, I think it's going to open up a lot of other opportunities. I see myself moving into a keynote speaker role,
absolutely
doing workshops, talking about, because I have other inventions too, a surgical clip that I invented that I licensed. So I have experience in licensing. I have experience in bringing something to market. And I believe that the best role would be now and be more education of and developing leaders to push through. And something I want to mention quick, and I don't know if I told you, but Cathware is not even my first invention. I quit on my first invention because I was listening to negativity, and I was listening to people in my life at that time that told me that it wouldn't work. And then a year or two later, I always forget. One of the people that told me that it wouldn't work saw it on the shelves at Walmart. Somebody else invented it.
Oh, man. See? So, of course, you want to listen to the critical voices because they might have some interesting feedback for you. But if it kills your idea, that's a whole nother thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I talk about that in the book, about not a way to discern negativity, versus critique, but that it's a very fine line, and you have to know what you know so that you can understand if it's critique or if it's negativity.
Right.
Because you want to have your vision challenged. Cathware has been challenged by my business partners, Edwin Alvarez, Miguel Lopez. Edwin is our COO, Miguel's our director of marketing. Like, a lot of things that I want to do, they start scrutinizing it. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's not a good idea. Right. Thank you. Yeah. And that's what you need. And that's another thing that I talk about a lot in the book is like, are you able to be number two at various points in your own project? Because I think nurses go into becoming an entrepreneur like, no, I'm number one. I'm the boss. And whatever I say goes. And whatever mm-hmm. you say, we're going to think about it. And that's mm-hmm. not going to get you very far.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're bringing the collaborative process from nursing and healthcare into the innovative process, into the prototype mm-hmm. process, into marketing, and you've done an amazing job. And people can go to cathware.com, mm-hmm. and you're also on Facebook and Instagram at Cathware Official, and you're on LinkedIn. We'll make sure we have your LinkedIn there so people can send you what I always say, a personalized message to Brian. Say you heard him on the Nurse Keith Show, you really want to connect with him, please do that. And Brian, the book is great. Is it on Amazon? Where are people going to be able to find the book?
They'll be able to find it on Amazon, and I believe I'll be able to launch it on February 1st.
Okay, so it'll be out by the time this podcast comes out, and we'll have a link directly to purchase it right from the show notes. And Brian, you're an amazing guy. I can't wait for us to meet in person when the pandemic's behind us, because I come out to Boston pretty regularly, once or twice a year.
Yeah, so awesome.
You're an inspiration, and thanks for creating something so awesome and writing a book that's so inspirational.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nurse Keith Show with friend of the pod, Brian Mojica of Cathware. And remember, the show notes are at nursekeith.com/episode315. And I want you to go out and buy Brian's book if you have any interest in nurse entrepreneurship, innovation, or becoming an inventor. I hope you feel uplifted and empowered from this episode with Brian. And I encourage you to take inspired action every day in the interest of your personal and professional satisfaction. And reach out to me if you'd like some holistic career coaching. Mention the show and you get a discount on your first coaching package. And the Nurse Keith Show is a member of Ars Longa Media. It's a collaborative network of podcasts dedicated to professional education and partnering to improve social ills. We're at Ars Longa, ArsLonga.media. We're also a member of the Health Podcast Network, one of the largest and fastest growing collections of authoritative, high quality podcasts about healthcare anywhere on the internet. Find us at healthpodcastnetwork.com. The Nurse Keith Show is adroitly produced by Rob Johnston of 520R Podcasting, and Mark Cappy Speeson is our social media ringmaster. Be well, dig deep, seek joy, find ways to innovate in your life. This is Nurse Keith saying adios till next time from beautiful and snowy Santa Fe, New Mexico. And my friend, Brian Mojica, saying see you later from
Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, Mass. Thank you, Brian. Thanks to everyone for being here, and we'll catch you on the flip side.